Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipaye Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I want to do this for somebody. Can you just spend 1 minute telling God, Lord, I'm ready for your word. I'm not just here to pass the time. I'm ready for your word. I'm receptive to your word. Let my spirit be alert. Let my mind be alert. Let my heart be receptive. Let this not just be any other service for me. Let this be the service that changes my life forever. Let this be the service where I get answers. Let this be the service where I'm equipped. Let this be the service where I'm transformed. This service is for me. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Now, do you know why I asked you to do that? I asked you to do that because there are different types of listening. Do you know that? There are different levels of listening and different types of listening. You can actually be in a service like this and listen and hear but not understand. You can also be in a service like this and listen and hear and understand but not internalize it. But it's a type of listening that is called listening with your spirit. Have you ever experienced something like that before? Where you are so open to the word of God. And as the word of God comes to you, you're internalizing it immediately. You're saying, this changes my life. You're examining your whole life. It's like the word of God presents your life like an x-ray. And you're making the adjustments as you go. You're switching the things you need to. You know, you can make a note in your mind and say, I will never do this again. And you stop doing it. You can make a note as you hear the word and say, this is how my life should be. And that's how it should be. So, I want to encourage you today, in whatever way you know how to open your spirit up, do that to the word today. Are you listening to me? Some of you, maybe the way you know how to do this is by listening more and responding. Oh, respond. You know that those aunties you laugh at in church that shout, right on, pastor. And you're like, well, your own is too much, my wife. Just calm down. It might be their own way of ensuring that they internalize the word that is coming to them. So whatever way that works for you, make sure you do it today. Because what I'm about to teach is going to change your life completely. Say a big amen. Amen. So far we've been doing a series, very long series called what? The Taught Faith. And we've done about 3 or 4 mini series in that. And we started a recent mini series called Fruitful. And I wish I had time to ask you all you've learned from this series. But the most important thing we've learned from this series, you know, in Fruitful, we're talking about the results of your salvation experience. We've gone through the motion. We've spoken about amazing grace, where we spoke about the gospel, right? How a believer is saved, knowing that you're saved. And after that, we spoke about what? Attitudes of a learner. Then after that, we spoke about what? Paraclete, talking about the Holy Ghost. So, it's a process from when you are saved to understanding what happens to you when you are saved, which is that you receive the Holy Spirit, even up until now where you're supposed to bear fruits. And so we started to say that salvation is not just about the forgiveness of sin. It's greater than that. Salvation is a heart transplant. And what do I mean by that? That when a person is saved, you are not just expected to just say, oh, yes, the Lord has forgiven all my sins, and that's the end. No, there are certain results that must be birthed in you because of salvation. Amen? And so you can find the person who got saved yesterday, and it's just, or maybe 2 weeks ago, and the person is more mature in the faith than somebody 30 years down the line. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Someone who is bearing more fruits than somebody 50 years down the line, someone 20 years down the line. Let me ask a very... How many of you have a recollection of when you got saved? So, how many of you have been saved up to 20 years? Now, can we clap for mommy? Now, that's a wonderful recognition here because it means that even though all of us went to church, I mean, majority of us went to church when we were young, we're not convinced we were saved. Because having understood what it means to be saved, you can tell that I was just attending church. I was not really saved. There's some things that some little children you will do and you say, this boy, you're not saved. That's the work of the flesh. You know, my friend, his son would do random things. And I went to his house and he was like, it's a pre-mike. This boy is not saved. He said, Paste came to our house and this boy slapped Paste. He's not saved. And he's a little boy. But you might think some of them don't know what they are doing. Because he did the same thing to me. I carried him and he gave me a dirty slap. He said, pre-mike, this boy is not saved. How many of you 15 years? Been saved 15 years? Thereabouts. OG. How many of you 10 years? How many of you at least 5? Oh, glory to God. How many of you 2? Glory to God. How many of you 1? Glory to God. Woo! We're excited for you. How many of you a few months? Then how many of you, I'm not even saved at all? Oh, I'm not sure. I know some people that know it's up behind though. So where do you fall? Now, what am I trying to say with this? I'm trying to say that your maturity in the faith is not really about the number of years you've been. It's about the results, the fruits that you bear. Because salvation is not just that, yes, Christ forgave my sins, you know, many years ago. No, it's a miracle of changed desires. It's a miracle of changed passions. Salvation is a seed of righteousness sown in a believer to yield what? Fruits of righteousness. No wonder the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 19. If you're with your Bible, flash your Bible to me. Bibles, this is a teaching ministry. Bibles, notepads. So please, if you're coming to Catholic Church, make sure to always come with your Bible and your notepads. Now let's read together Galatians 5. 19. 1, 2, go. Amen. You know I'll stop you. Let's read together like a mass choir. 1, 2, go. Are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. Am I reading alone? Are you guys with me? Are you with me? All right, let's continue from verse 21. 1, 2, go. Murder, drunkenness, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is interesting. Someone is like, almost a list. Because you just saw something that you are doing there. And he said, I tell you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, how do we process this? I thought we were saved by faith, Paul. But now you're saying, if I practice any of these things, I'm not saved. How do I think about it? Well, the reason why Paul is saying this is because the salvation of the believer must be commensurate to the results that he's bearing. Are you getting what I'm saying? The results you bear are evidences of the fact that you are saved. Meaning that if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you should bear good fruits. These fruits that he mentioned are fruits of the flesh, fruits of the old man. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? But he doesn't stop there. Verse 22, what does he say? Everybody, 1, 2, go. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, Self-control. Against such, there is no... You know, the problem is that a lot of us have been wrongly taught. We were taught these things as just a list of things. So some of us did not take them seriously. We just felt like, oh, that list that nobody can ever meet up to. You see what I'm saying? So in the things that you should not do, you're like, oh, that long list that is keeping the mark. You know, but nobody can ever meet up to that. And in the other side, you're like, oh, these are the things they say we should do. Well, I have a bit of it, but you know, I don't know. But that's not the way to process it. Listen, the old man bore fruits of the flesh. Who you used to be before had those fruits. But the new man is supposed to bear a different kind of fruit, because in salvation, the mechanism of the flesh was destroyed. I thought you say big amen there. Do you believe that? Is the mechanism of the flesh destroyed in you? It says the mechanism of the flesh is destroyed. But not only was the mechanism of the flesh destroyed, a new mechanism was implanted into you. Ezekiel 31, right? And Jeremiah. It says, a new heart I'll give to you. A new spirit I'll give to you. I will take out the stony heart. Meaning that what you had before was a heart that could not be entreated by God. You could not help yourself. You could not stop the things you were doing. But now something else has taken over. It says that mechanism is destroyed. Amen? Amen. Completely. It says, I will take the stony heart out of your flesh. So when you got saved, not only were your sins forgiven, a heart transplant happened. Are you listening to what I'm saying? A heart transplant happened. That old heart that couldn't respond to God was removed from you completely. That's the mechanism of the flesh. That's the mechanism of sin. That's the mechanism that will bear the fruits of the things that he listed before. But a new mechanism was implanted into you. What is that mechanism? The Spirit is the law of life in Christ Jesus that has set you free from what? Hey, that has set you free from what? From the law of sin and death. This means that the fruits that a believer bears is evidence of his transformation or her transformation. And this is very critical to your walk with God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, Jesus himself says, by their fruits you shall know them. Some of you thought he was teaching about agriculture. No. He was trying to say that from the things that a person does, he was talking about false teachers. And he's saying that the way you can know those who are truly of me, those who are truly saved, is by their fruits. I know that works is not proof of salvation, but works can be proof of salvation. Fruits can be proof of salvation. Because no one who has good seed planted inside of him will yield bad fruits. Are you see what I'm saying? But a person who has bad seed implanted in him will produce what? Bad fruits. So the logic should make sense. If truly I have the seed of righteousness, I should produce fruits of what? Of righteousness. Are you listening to me, somebody? It says, by their fruits, you shall know them. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 16. I'm going somewhere with this, and I want you to follow me because it would all make sense when I get there. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 7, 16. Read together, everybody. 1, 2, go. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thieves? Are you seeing that? Can you expect to get a good fruit from weeds? Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? No. What does he say next? Verse 17, 1, 2, go. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. Next verse, what does he say? Oh, I thought you said that's my life there. A good tree cannot bear bad fruits. It doesn't matter what you are seeing now. You have the seed of righteousness planted inside of you. A good tree cannot bear what? Bad fruits. And so I cannot bear bad fruits. Oh, I thought you personalized that, somebody. That's how to receive it in your spirit. I can't bear bad fruits. I might be struggling, but I can't bear bad fruits. Maybe I made a mistake yesterday, but I can't bear bad fruits. I just need to let the seed that is planted in me take charge, take roots. I can't be, listen. He says, when Jesus comes, there's something he says. He says that mortality will be swallowed by immortality. Corruptible will be swallowed by incorruptible. You have an incorruptible seed in you. You can't bear bad fruits. You need to learn how to war with the word. Some of you accept the disposition and the things that the world throws at you too easily. I can't bear bad fruits. You say they are judging. They cannot judge if you hold on to the word of God. Who is judging you? If God does not judge you, then who will judge you? He says there is now no condemnation for he who is in Christ Jesus. He who does not walk according to the flesh but according to the spirit. He says a new law is at work. The law of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. There is no handwriting, no ordinance against you that can stand. Whatever the expectation is of your fruit, you have the right seed. Which is why it's important that you confirm first, am I truly saved? Which was why we went through the journey we went through. Because the moment you are sure, I believe the gospel is the right message and I am saved, there are some things you will stand on. By law and principle, I will bear good fruits. You don't plant maize and expect something else to grow. No, you know what you planted. Expect results of that. Are you listening to me, somebody? It says, therefore, verse 20, by their fruits you will know them. Hallelujah. So fruits are like the evidence of your spiritual transformation. And having spoken about fruit so much lately, one of the most important fruits that I said a believer must bear is the fruit of joy. What did I call it? The fruit of joy. And that's what we're talking about this season. Joy. Say joy. You know, I noticed something that a lot of us miss when we read Galatians. Same text we were reading. Can we go back there? When it got to what the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, go back to the beginning where it spoke about works. I want to show you something that is going to change your life. Everybody read this together. I want to go. Now the works of the flesh. Singular or plural? Plural. Works of the flesh. Go to where it speaks about the fruit of spirit. What does it say? Everybody wants to go. But the fruit of the spirit is. You know, when you read your Bible sometimes, you gloss over it as though, you know, some of you read with the mind of your Sunday school teachers. Because when we were growing up, they just taught us this as things to identify. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Just you keep reading and dancing. And that's okay to memorize. But you need to understand what is going on here. This does not make logical sense. Or do you think that, you know, they have typos in the Bible? It says the fruit of the Spirit is. Then he now begins to mention many things. Is that correct in English? It's not correct. Because you just use singular and then you begin to list things. Are you listening to me, somebody? So, why? And you have to ask yourself the question, when you're reading the Bible, it's not a grammatical accident. It's a deep theological truth. Something is going on there. The reason why he says this is that the fruits that he lists, he wants you to understand that he's not talking about disconnected virtues. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He's not talking about disconnected virtues. He's not trying to say you can have peace and not have long suffering. He's trying to say that the fruit is one of the Spirit, is all of these things together, meaning the moment you have the Holy Ghost, you have everything. Hey, I thought you respond differently. The moment you have the Holy Ghost, you have what? You have everything. Meaning that you might be seeing love by the help of the Spirit and you are not seeing peace. It's not a new virtue to develop. From the same source, you can get peace. Hi. Am I preaching today? You have the Holy Ghost. You walk in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. Then you say, I don't have peace. No, from the same source. If you have the Holy Ghost, you have the fruit of the Spirit. The manifestations of the Spirit is one fruit. All of these virtues are connected in one. Anybody ever experienced peace in the Holy Ghost? It means you can experience joy in the Holy Ghost. Anybody ever experienced self-control? So some people be like, I've seen love by the Holy Ghost. I've seen peace by the Holy Ghost. But I've not seen self-control. I always want to slap everybody that talks to me. You see, it's from the same source. It's not something new. You say, Father, give me the grace of self-control. It's not a grace. There's a fruit. And listen to me. It's not going to come from outside. It has already been planted in you. So the disposition of the believer to the things that he lists there is to see that if I have the Holy Ghost, I have love, I have joy, I have peace, I have long suffering, I have kindness, I have goodness, I have faithfulness. And the fact that I've not seen it does not mean I don't have it. You have to watch the words you say about yourself. Because if you say you don't have it, you will have it and you would exclude yourself from the fruits of it. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, one fruit, many expressions. What did I say? And so the fruit of the Spirit is the transformation that births all these results in one. In one. Let me help you. See, no matter the relationship seminar you go for and the counseling you go for, no matter the dating counseling you do, you and your partner sit down 7 hours, they counsel you. No matter what they do, everything you learn from there will only last a season until you understand the fruits of the Spirit. Did you hear what I said? Until you understand what? The fruits of the Spirit. It would only last a season. Telling people who don't have their desires changed to have love, joy, peace, long suffering is like telling a dead man to dance. They can mimic it for a while. They can act on it for a while. But the moment the circumstance changes, the real man emerges. But your disposition is different. Maybe that's why you take it for granted. This thing was brought and planted inside of you. Meaning even when you are not acting like it, it is there for when you are ready. It is there for when you are ready. And the moment you cast your mind inward and you stir it up, you can take from what is within and put upon. You can find expression in it anytime, anytime, at any moment, and in whatever season. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So, you can't be in the same kingdom and be struggling with self-control. Self-control comes from the same point. Long-suffering comes from the same point. Temperance comes from the same point. Are you listening to me, somebody? And so, the moment the person receives the Holy Spirit, all these things are deposited in the person. The way we used to understand it before was, maybe I got saved, I have to go and look for self-control somewhere. No. The moment you got saved, everything. See, don't you understand? It's a miracle that a person today can have worldly passions. Has it happened to you before? And you got saved and all of a sudden, bah, it disappears. Even you that you are saved, sometimes the world might try to draw you. And you're just, maybe 1 week you were just lazing around. You just came for one service. The word of God just touched you. The next day, you start cleaning your whole house. You know, does the Holy Ghost cause you to rearrange things? Does prayer cause you to rearrange things? You just start arranging. You know, you start planning. To-do list, Monday morning. Holy Spirit has touched you. Are you seeing what I'm saying? There is a supernatural cleanup that happens there. It's a miracle. Don't play with it. So, we've not been taught, but what happened to us as salvation is a miracle of changed affections. See, people take a while to break habits unless something big happens to them, near-death experience or things like that. Then they say, I turned my way. I'm no longer doing it. But you Google had a near-death experience. Actually, you had a death experience in the spirit. You died. And you were brought to life in a twinkle of an eye. You said, I believe. Nailed you to the cross, sharp, sharp, blah, 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 bring you back. You know, in his death, I died, buried with him in baptism, boom, risen with him by faith. Yes, okay, now I'm alive. Change desires. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, shout glory! Glory! Very fast, it happened to you. So, you can't take these things lightly. You know, I've said it before. The solution to many of the problems that we fight for is not new laws. Laws don't solve problems. It only keeps the people from doing it because of the fear of the punishment. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And it makes the ones that want to do it better skilled at hiding it. It doesn't mean you would not want to do it. Are you listening to me? It doesn't mean you would not want to do it. Let me ask you a question. If you drive 50, you will pass the 50 mark. Do you drive 50? Even the police agree with us that we can do 10 over. Imagine. 5. Okay, sorry. Hey. So what am I saying? You got your G1, got your G2. You drove the way they wanted you to drive to do the test. Immediately after. Some of you don't even check blind spot again. That spot is blind. It's blind to you. You don't even turn your neck again. You just enter whoever likes. So what is going on? Some of you, 401, Need for Speed, 150. A certain group of individuals in this place that I will not mention their name. They almost killed Wisdom one day. When we're going to Kitchener. Certain individuals here. So, what am I trying to say? The fact that the law exists does not stop you from wanting to do it. You know the funniest thing? If you are driving fast in a particular place, the max that the government will do is to put a speed bump there for you. Or put a camera there for you. If they remove it in community safe zone, you will still drive 70. Students, you saw the student sign, you are still drifting. Now, why am I saying this? I'm not saying this to judge you. I'm saying this to show you that what laws will only do is to keep you in check. It doesn't change the desire. The only thing that has successfully changed the desires of a man is the Holy Spirit. You can put 5 million gun control laws there. They will still shoot themselves. Our brother. they will still shoot. You see what I'm saying? So, the solution to it is not even the laws will help. It's a change heart. It's a change heart. Because the only thing that will stop you from being angry enough to shoot somebody is self-control. And you can only mimic it for a while. Because the day the right chord is struck, boom. News. Amen? So, I'm trying to show you that a miracle, such a big miracle happened at salvation that a lot of us miss. We don't see it. Are you getting what I'm saying? At salvation, there was a transformation, a change of heart, a change of affections. And now, the moment the Holy Spirit came to live inside of you, you received love, you received peace, long-suffering, kindness, all of these things. Meaning that the presence of these gifts are no longer circumstantial. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, these gifts will be present in you. This means that your joy is no longer now dependent on what is happening to you or whatever external is happening at that time. No! Because when you are happy and when you are sad, you have the Holy Ghost. Did you get what I'm saying? You had the Holy Ghost when you were sad. Meaning you had joy when you were sad. It's somewhere there. But you just were not conscious of it. You see, it's no longer circumstantial. It's now a fruit. Are you seeing this? So, whatever is going externally is no longer going to affect these gifts. Your joy can no longer just be affected by what you are feeling at the time. This changes everything. This is innovation. You know, it's a different type of... That I can experience something and feel it, and now it does not shake my joy. It does not shake my peace. Hey, are you listening to what I'm saying? Some of you think I've still got joy in chaos. Is that something will happen and you will not feel it? You are not a robot. You will feel it. But the difference is that you still have joy. It's no longer based on what is happening externally. It's no longer circumstantial. Joy has stopped being a feeling and it has become a fruit of your born-again spirit. And if in Paraclete, he says, I will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, then your joy is forever. Yes, are you listening to me? Yes, if he says that the Holy Spirit will come and live in you forever, it means that joy, peace, long-suffering has come to be in you forever. It's still going nowhere. Yeah? Did you hear what I said? It is what? It's going nowhere. Your joy is forever. Say, my joy is forever. I thought you would rejoice about that. Say, my joy is forever. Meaning, even if I don't feel it, it's in me. Even though I don't see it, it's in me. Even though the road seems rough, it's in me. I just have to look within. I'll find it there. Something has changed. The things that I used to look at, you know, in the world and admire and want to have has been planted in me. What the movies have shown me in a fleeting way has been planted in me. Oh, are you listening to what I'm saying? It has been planted in me. It's no, joy is no longer an emotion for the believer. It's a fruit. The product of the Spirit's work in me. And so true joy, it's not dependent on circumstances, but the reality of Christ in you. It's not, you know, happiness just from happenings. No. Joy for you is no longer the absence of trouble. No. The Spirit's influence in you at that moment, it has nothing to do with what is happening external. It has everything to do with what He is doing inside of you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, you know, the funniest part is that a lot of us don't even realize that the fruit of the Spirit are actually most powerful when your natural situation is the opposite. Why would you need long suffering? It's because something will suffer you. I'm joking. It's because people are going, things are going to shift you, challenge you. So the problem is that we have a wrong sense of the understanding of joy and peace. We think that the fruit of the Spirit means that we will never experience trouble or chaos. No. It means even in the presence of, I have joy. Even in the presence of, I'm long-suffering. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So, that's when it's most effective. Meekness will be most effective. When, like Paul, you have everything to boast about and you say, I count it all aside for the excellency of Christ. I get what I'm trying to say. So we like the meekness one, but we don't like the joy one. Joy will also be most effective when the situation around you demands that you not be happy. And then you know that you have a fruit. Amen? Most of us fail tests every day. In your biggest challenge, you just turn on God. Are you getting what I'm saying? What if your happiness came from something eternal and not something temporal? You know, as I prepared this teaching, I got fascinated with something which actually made me name this series Porcelain. You know, and I got to church this morning and Portia was like, Pastor, why porcelain? And I was like, it's just a trailer because I'm going to explain it in the teaching. How many of you have ever seen a porcelain before? Do you know what a porcelain is? Huh? Porcelain what? Ad? Class? Glass? Oh, vase. Well, yes. Those ceramic vases, right? All right. So, what is porcelain? Well, have you ever seen those fancy teacups that people put in glass cabinets? Those things that look ceramic and have this ink art on them. You know, so there's a brand of it that is called porcelain. And the idea of porcelain and the main thing about porcelain is that they are so beautiful and so polished, yet they are so fragile. Are you getting what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's beautiful, it's polished, it's expensive even, but if it drops, one crack, it's over. Have you ever tried to use a mug that has a chip at the end? Does that last long in your house? Someone's like, Pastor, it does. I did not buy a new mug. I'm joking. But it doesn't look good anymore. Imagine something polished so good. Then you see a crack on it. So it's so fragile. It's one of the most delicate materials known to man. And there are others like it. You know, you have ceramic. People are doing porcelain tiles now and stuff like that. They look very beautiful. They're elegant. They're shiny. They're valuable. But yet, so fragile. If you mishandle it, one drop, one wrong pressure, it cracks. And I found that so fascinating, because the process of making porcelain is actually intense. It goes through extreme heat in its formation. Actually, it passes through over 1,000 degrees of heat to be formed. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So it is baked with extreme heat, but even after all of that, still fragile, still breakable, so beautiful yet not battle ready. Are we not supposed to use it to drink? Now we are treating it as though, like egg. Amen? Those of you, you know, there are some dishwashers you probably cannot put it in. Some of you know, dishwashers, if it hits another place, pump, gone. Are you seeing what I'm trying to say? So beautiful, you'd have thought, oh, were they making a shield when they were making it? 1,000 degrees? Maybe you're making something indestructible. But yet, it's not battle ready. But this is how many believers are with respect to their joy and their happiness. Just like porcelain. You've been to church, been through teachings, been through trainings. You look polished. You look like you're shining, like everything has been prepared. You have those great TikTok videos. Get ready with me to church. You record yourself waking up from the bed, and the first thing you do is you kneel down and you pray. Everybody's like, oh my God, I want to be like this girl. Wow. Prayer machine. Everybody's praying. You put your phone. You show yourself praying 3, 4, 5 hours. You come to church and you're fervent. Right, keep on, shake like this. Your hair is everywhere. And that's good. It's not bad. Amen. You come and your smile is so big. You hug everybody. You love everybody. You have the brightest smile on your face on Sunday morning. Always willing to serve. You're the friend of everyone. You give the warmest hugs. You're the life of the party. Every church hangout, you are there. Who's playing the music? It's me. And these are good things, perfect things. Every cell meeting, you are there. You're excited. But one little disappointment, one unanswered prayer, you crack. You turn on God. Your joy disappears. You who used to step in bright in the morning, happy, you didn't get the job. And everything changes. You step in. I say, everybody's asking you, how are you doing? What's going on? I say, I'm fine. You don't know we can read that. I'm fine. You know? And your whole aura has changed. It's so bad that you even stop attending meetings. And you don't see that you know what I'm talking about now? You don't even feel like showing up anymore. Your joy is missing completely. The joy of devotion is not, you wake up and you're like, what do I even have to say to this God? You say it in your heart. What do I even have to say to this God? Then you start throwing tantrums. You know people throw tantrums to God. I'm a pastor, I know. I'm angry with God. I watch one podcast. You see, they need to take all of them in that podcast, line them on the wall, and flog them. One girl said, there's a valid thing we need to talk about. God owes us an apology. Anyway, God owes you an apology. He said, there were times it didn't come through for me. Okay, are you the only one? Do you know what he's thinking? Do you know why? There are times it didn't show up for me. You are God, though. You know what's going on. You see, God owes us an apology. Let's reverence God, though. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, some people lose their joy. You say, God, where are you? Lord, I thought you loved me. But have you forgotten love is not one-sided? You are asking God for the one time he didn't show up. And now you're turning your back on him. But he was there all the times you didn't show up. Maybe that's why he didn't show up, so he can teach you. Oh, you don't know that God tests? He might decide to delay what you need the most to show you. That come, you can, this is not incantation. Anytime you come, I will answer you. You know, it's like some of you just come to God. The only prayer you know, give me. Even the angels are like, they just say, I'm a filter. If you hear any other thing, but give me answer. Give me. No relationship, nothing. Porcelain believers are fragile under pressure. They can't take any pressure. And the problem is that many times, God is not even involved in the things that make them crack. We live in a fallen world. Hard times will come. And if every hard time steals your joy, you can't survive long on this earth. You'll be depressed frequently. This world is... See, the falling world is a depressing machine. Just turn on the news. Turn on the news. Bad things are happening every day. And it's because we live in a fallen world. It's evidence of the fallen world. Sin has introduced death into our world. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Posthumous believers have learned how to shine, but not how to stand. They've learned how to look polished always, but not how to rejoice always. And sometimes the devil can come and try to steal your happiness with someone. Because sometimes it's actually the devil. It's real. The people that are selling mic for people that are doing podcasts need to stop. They need to stop. Everybody now. One other podcast. One man said, you know, in our church, we stop praying against the devil. Say, ask me why. You're sounding deep. And other people that if they put background music for you, does not mean that what you're saying makes sense. Now say rubbish on top of that background music. Complete rubbish. He said, you know, we stopped praying against the devil. He said, because when I looked at my Bible and I saw the description of Jesus, the Latin word there is Lucifer. It's correct, but it's out of context. He said it's Lucifer. So if Lucifer, the morning star, is to describe Jesus, then Jesus is Lucifer. Then I should stop. And then the interviewer said, They need to collect your mic and the certificate of your podcastship. What is that? Now, guess what? If you studied it, you know what he's talking about. He's correct. But question, why are you checking the Latin meaning when the Bible is written in Hebrew and Greek? What did they do you? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, the word Lucifer actually means morning star, which was used for different people in the Bible, not just Lucifer. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So does that mean anybody that is called morning star is the devil? No. Morning star is actually a good word. And that was the name he took before the fall because he was called that because of his reputation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you have to make sure that you understand what you're saying. Now, sometimes the devil will come to try to steal your happiness. And I say happiness because he can't steal your joy. It's a fruit of your spirit. But he can deceive you. He can attack you. He can do everything to get you to give it up because you have to give it up. Am I preaching today? This is why you must understand how to stir up these gifts and be conscious of them every day. Actually, every minute. You must train for it. Because your joy is your strength. I'm telling you. And this is something many believers don't. Listen. When it comes to the spiritual systems that govern the life of a believer, joy is not optional. Hey. You know there are legal systems in the spirit. Joy is not optional. You know why we scream and we're like, glory! Listen. If you notice, it aids your receptiveness of the word, aids your ability to discern what's going on in spirit, aids your ability to listen to God. The days your mood is foul, you rarely are able to hear God. Because in the spirit, joy is almost saying, I'm willing. I'm open. Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? It's legal tender. It's a currency in the spirit. Why do you think that many occultic things are also marked by joy? Are you listening to me? There's always dancing and parading and all of these things. Why? Because when you do those things in the name of anything, you open yourself to that thing. Am I preaching today? Hallelujah. But what you must realize is that the devil knows this too. He knows. He knows. And so because he knows that if he can touch your joy, he can touch your strength, he would attack it. Because when you don't have joy, you are more susceptible to external voices. You are looking for every other thing. You know, Nehemiah said to the Israelites, he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you know what was going on there? They were rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. And they came and then they read the law to the people and they were so sad. Oh my God, we've broken the laws of God. Yes, we've rebuilt Jerusalem, but it's not up to the massive standard it used to be. And they were like, everybody was mourning and crying. And then Nehemiah turned back and said, no! He says, rejoice, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. God did not want them to be sorrowful and continue to be sad. Rather, he wants them to see the reading of that law as a hope for forgiveness, not a condemnation at that time. Because if he's going to do anything with them, they have to be joyful. Many of their feasts were marked with joy, because God knows that this is the way that I'm going to get them going. They must rejoice in what I'm doing. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As important as that revival was to them, God didn't want them to remain dejected. No, he wanted them to rejoice always. Are you learning something today? So when the devil attempts to steal your joy, he's attempting to steal your strength. You have to understand, the devil can engage your emotions. He can try to oppress you. He can test you. He can negotiate your peace. Because as long as you're on this earth, he wants to fight. Listen to me. There are rights that the devil has on this earth. Don't play with it. Hey, are you listening to me? Do I need to explain what I mean by the devil having rights? Matthew 8:28. Are you learning something today? Jesus. I need to reach the end of my notes. I need to be fast. Matthew 8:28. Are you ready, everybody? Read together. 1, 2, go. To the country. There you met the two demons. Coming out of the tomb, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. So he met people who were possessed by demons. Next verse, what does it say? Everybody want to go? Then suddenly they cried out, saying, what have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before? Have you ever thought about this before? What does this mean? There's a time for their torment. There is a time for the punishment of the demon spirits, and including Lucifer himself. But before that time, they are roaming about the earth and they can possess people. Meaning, God has assigned an appropriate way. Listen, have you not thought about it before? Why did Jesus not kill them? Why did he cast them into the pigs? You can't kill spirits. There's a special method for them to be dealt with. God has created that special method. And there's an appointed time where it will be ready. So for now, not every schizophrenia is medical. Are you listening to me? Not everything is medical. Amen? Some of them are things like this. So, in this period, they are still available. I'm moving around. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to tell you the truth. This is the Bible. Is it not? Let me show you another proof. Job chapter 1 verse 9. Job chapter 1 verse 9. You have to know the life we're living so you can know how to address things. Job chapter 1 verse... Are you learning something today? Are you being blessed today? Job chapter 1 verse 9, everybody. Want to go? So Satan answered the Lord. Eh? Satan and the Lord. In the same sentence. And said, does Job fear God for nothing? Around his household and around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hand. And his possessions have increased in the land. 11. And he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all... Do you get the point? So, there's a cut in the spirit that Satan can appear before God. Because where he's going, he's not going alone. And he doesn't want to go alone. You know, he's defeated already. But what's going on here? He said, I know. You've put a hedge around him. You remove the hedge and see. I will test him. So, God can allow you to be tested. Hey, that's not theology that you're used to hearing, right? I don't preach shaky theology here. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't. So, God, why? He can allow you to be tested. He can. But the most important thing is that he still has all things in his control. I get what I'm saying? So, the outcome of this story was that Job was better and Job will never doubt God in his life again. Job was not a perfect and upright man, as they said. He seemed perfect and upright. But the moment something shook him, everything changed. If you read the latter, some of you have not even touched Job. You only know Job 1. Read like 33. All his friends were whining him. One now came and said, Job, I know you. You are a scornful man. You deceitful boy. He said the truth about Job. He thought he was upright and perfect. He said you that you eat and drink in scorn. Then Job's true color. He now told God. He started speaking wrong against God. Asking him. God now came and told him, I make a billion decisions in the world that you know nothing about. You don't know when I cause the turtle to eat. When I cause the lilies to bloom. I make a billion things. God never even told him why he did what he did. All he wanted him to see is that I am good. I'm always good, and every decision that I make is good. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, every decision I make is what? Is good. Meaning that you can do something and the devil can leverage on that to say, you see? See your boy? Are you getting what I'm saying, somebody? So there was a hedge around him, but the devil wanted to test him, but it's important you see that he still asks permission. He still asks permission. Don't get it twisted. The devil still attacks. Not everything is an attack of the devil, but the devil still attacks. He truly attacks. You know another story that will show you this? Jesus said, Simon, Simon, the devil seeks to sift you. Did he say, I killed him? He said what? Did he even stop him? He didn't stop the devil from trying to tempt Peter. What did he say? I have prayed for you. Meaning you now, you have to summon the resistance to stand against him. Listen to me. There are many mountains God will not remove. He will strengthen you to cross over it so that when others come, you will not break. If he removes every mountain, when the ones that come, that are little, that you should be able to cross over, should come, you will not be able to cross over. So some, he will say, listen, I've given you bread, but now I'm the bread of life. They said, give us bread. He multiplied, you know, bread and fish twice. They said, oh yeah, keep. He said, no. I am the bread of life. All of this is a means to an end. It's about receiving me. A time will come when God will say, I'm no longer feeding you scraps. I want you to mature. Amen? There are some valleys that it will not be removed. You will need to walk through the valley. That's why he said, even though I walk through the valley, meaning he did not say you will never walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus. Am I preaching today? He did not say you will never walk through. He says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what will happen? You fear no evil. Why? God is with me. That's what he wants you to see. That I'm with you. I'm with you. It doesn't matter. His expectation, when they were in the boat, when the storm was raging, what did he do? He went to sleep. Hey. Smart people, you look at him. This guy has to die on the cross. Meaning he's not dying in this boat. I'll go and sleep. He's sleeping. We'll be all right. Why are you panicking when the Prince of Peace is in your boat? So even in the storm, if he's sleeping, I'll go there all right. I pin. I'll just hold his leg. So whatever wave should wash him, we wash together. Whatever miracle. If you want to do like Elijah, sir, we are together. You cannot disappear. Whatever power that takes you, it will take me. Amen? So, the goal is that you have to understand that the devil will make a play. He will fight. I'm not a prophet of doom, but I'm telling you, if not yesterday, he will tomorrow. The difference is, are you prepared for it? Or are you a porcelain believer? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you read Zechariah 3:1, you will see there was a court. Joshua was there. The angel of the Lord was there. And Satan was there to make his case too. So, we've seen enough in scripture to see that the devil can try a believer, but you must not give him your response. He can tempt you, but he can't take your joy from you or your happiness from you unless you give it to him. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'll teach you on Thursday how joy can be a weapon. But what you must realize is that Jesus himself said, in this life you will face many tribulations. He says, but have no fear. I've overcome the world. Are you listening to me, somebody? I've overcome. So, don't let little things get you to crack. Don't let it get your joy. Sometimes, being sad, actually every time, it does more harm than good. Because many of the things you are sad about, you can't do anything to change it. But what you can do is vex the devil. Say, me? Think I'll be sad? Hey, Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, everything around me. Hey! I've never I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. Woo! So why would he fail now? He won't. Hallelujah. Your God won't fail. So you have to understand that even when the tears are fresh, you still whisper, God is good. You whisper, he won't fail. He won't. He won't. You have to understand that I don't think there is any problem on this earth that has not been overcome. The biggest fear we have is death, and that has been dealt with. Because if Jesus rose from the dead, we know that there is no way that we don't know where we are going. The same mechanism that rose him will raise us. So even the most painful thing, which is the loss of a loved one, we will cry because we are humans. But still, we'll still say, God is good. Amen? We'll say, God is good. Because this one happened. Listen, there's nobody on this earth that will live forever. It's a matter of time. It's only context the devil uses to push you away. You now say, I'm not coming to church. Why did he take her? It's just context. You're pained, and that's a real thing. But don't let it overcome you that you don't realize that there's joy there somewhere. I'm trying to tell you that you can go through the hardest moment of your life and you will take from a different source and say, there is joy. You say, I have joy. I have joy. Say, I have joy. Please, I need to preach today. Many of us read Hebrews about the heroes of faith. By faith. Great stories of the heroes of faith. By faith, they conquered the mouth of lions. By faith, they did this. But you stop there. Many of you did not read that the Bible actually says from verse 36, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That's also by faith. Same faith of Cain, Abel, Samson, Daniel. Let's read 30. Let's read from 35. The same faith that gave you, everybody wants to go. Women received their dead raised again. In the same line, what do you say? Want to go. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You know, sometimes when we pray for God to even free some missionaries, some don't even want it. Hey, it's by the same faith that they will go through the trials. Do you know that Paul's imprisonment could not be prayed against? If you love Paul and say, hey, God forbid, he will not go to, he can slap you. Listen, actually, there was a prophecy. Agabus came to him and took a belt and bound his hand and said, the way I am bound, if you go to Jerusalem, you'll be bound. Paul still went. Because he knows that his own life now is to suffer. Jesus. And because he was in prison, he was able to witness in almost every court around. And he preached the gospel to them. All the Pharisees and Sadducees that were there heard the gospel because of his imprisonment. So sometimes even what you call a struggle might be to the glory of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? When something happens to you and you come out with your testimony, it might be so that your neighbors will understand that God can do this. But if you are short-sighted, God can't use you. He can't tell a story with your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? He can't tell a story with your life. What if Abraham had stopped? What if Joseph had stopped? In the first prison, he would have said, you know what, sir? I know I saw a coat of many colors. I know the dream. They were bowing down, but this one is too much. No more joy, sir. Please, leave me alone. I'm not doing it. Say, Potiphar, let's stop here. You know, after that, he went to another prison. You guys what I say? So then that promoted him to prime minister and saved the old. Some of you are saying, hey God, it's Paul. Paul would have said, there's no miracle. You know why? He suffered shipwreck upon shipwreck. I think 3 shipwrecks. He was in prison almost all his life. If some of you experience just one, you are not real, sir. With all these things, you can't be real. Say, if my God is God, you'll be trusting God. you're not even listening to hear what he's trying to do in the moment. Don't be a porcelain believer. Learn to take a punch. I get what I'm trying to say. Learn to take one and see, God, what are you doing? My joy is still intact. Let's finish that text so that you see. It says that they might obtain a better resurrection. Jesus. So they suffered to obtain a better resurrection. Next verse, what does it say? Everybody wants to go. Still, others had trials of mockings and scourging. Yes, and of chains and what? By faith too. Next verse, what does it say? And they were stoned. They were sawn into. Jesus. This is the magic show. They were cut into two. They were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin. The moment you cannot buy the latest cloth, you are saying, God, where are you? Are you alive? People are wearing goat skin, sheep skin, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Kai, amen. But he says, even they did not receive the inheritance. He says that they will not be blessed outside of you, meaning you too, you will endure the same things and be fine. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Says we are pressed on every side. yet not crushed, perplexed, yet not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ, preaching his message everywhere, no matter the circumstance. My joy is perfect. Don't be fickle. With job or without job, I am okay. With money or no money, I'm okay. Some of you will read the text that's about contentment for lack of contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was teaching contentment. He was trying to say, I've learned how to live when I'm poor. I've learned how to live when I'm rich. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can your joy be present when you have and be present when you don't have? Can your character not change? Some people are wearing sadness like an aura. You step into a place and the whole mood of the place changes. You know, you can actually spread sadness like an aura. You just step everywhere, just grows cold. But the same way you can spread joy. So you have to choose. So two things that you must know about joy as I bring my sermon to a close. Number one, joy is not a feeling. It is the fruit of your born-again spirit. What did I say? It is a fruit of your born-again spirit. One of the marks of a person that houses the Holy Spirit is joy. People must be able to look at you and determine that, this guy has the Holy Ghost. From his joy walk. From how you respond to situations around you. Amen? Yeah. Do not allow the wiles of this world to dictate how joyful you are. No. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Joy in adverse circumstances is possible because you have the Holy Spirit. Amen? Number two, you can command your emotion from this joy. What did I say? You can command your emotion from this joy. And this is probably the greatest super weapon of a believer. That joy is now a willful decision. You can choose joy. Say, I can choose joy. You know, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You can't fulfill this if you can't choose joy. So why do we come to this church and the moment we step in, no matter what's going on, we say rejoice and everybody's screaming? It is because it doesn't matter where we were before, we can choose joy. Some of you are waiting to feel it. So everybody's jumping and you're like, no. It's there. It's in there. It's implanted in me. So I can choose joy. Hallelujah. I can choose it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, rejoice always. This cannot be done if you follow your feelings. Amen? It can't. We have to master joy to this extent. So when we say rejoice, it's possible no matter what happened a minute ago. When we run around and we scream, we can choose joy. Even if you had a bad day or you have gotten the worst news that day, you can still stir up joy. You can choose to respond in joy. You can stir it up like any other fruit. It's something you have to do intentionally. You do it until your heart catches up. And sometimes it's not long. If you start, your spirit catches up with you somewhere. There's just an intoxicating feeling. You're like, hey, this is real to me. It's real. Choose it in your home. When everything looks in opposition, choose it in your... Say, I choose joy today. Then you start playing. You start playing the song, capacity, increase. And you start dancing. Hey! You change the atmosphere. Blast the speaker in your house. Let your neighbor say, are they doing party? Let them see you through the window. Doing capacity. Hey! Choose joy. Don't be a puzzling Christian. No. What I'm teaching is not about suppressing your feelings or not addressing hurt. This is deciding to walk in the spirit first. You can check yourself into counseling later, but start here. You know, we're not against medical science here, but start with your advantage. Start with your advantage. It's deciding to believe in God and putting your gaze in Him, even in the trouble. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet, somebody. I want you to choose joy today. I want you to choose joy today. Hey! Rejoice! Hallelujah! Begin to give him the praise. Hey, say, I choose joy. I choose joy. I choose joy.